Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we go through Russiagate 2.0, the new story that they're trying to take down Trump with, which has no facts and is blowing up in the left's faces in real time. And we also talk about the tragedy of Chaz, how innocent life has been lost because the police were not able to do their job. Email me your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. For your monthly supporters that support us on charliekirk.com/support that allow us to tell the truth confidently and clearly without threats of boycotts or attacks from the left, thank you. And for the monthly donors, we do a special once a month. We're going to do our first one in mid-July. So charliekirk.com/support. Please consider becoming a monthly donor or a single contributor. Helps cover our costs of our podcast. We are doing almost 12 to 14 podcasts a week, and we have some even coming up over Independence Day weekend that I know you're really going to enjoy. Email me your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved at Turning Point USA, TPUSA.com. You guys are going to love this episode, and also make sure you listen to our sister episode with Governor Kristi Noem from South Dakota. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Russiagate 2.0. Now, mind you, I saw this story we're about to unpack for you come across for a couple days. I rolled my eyes. I said, if the New York Times is this cavalier about another Russia scandal, I'm going to let all the facts come out before I engage in it. And so now we have to share with you how things are today. You probably saw this story somewhere because the Biden campaign and the entire Democrat power structure, they were trying to push forth this entire bombshell story, allegedly. It was on June 26th that the New York Times published it, that the Russian government was instituting a bounty program in which Putin would pay Afghan soldiers for killing United States troops. Now, if true, it's like that old expression, big if true. If true, this is a massive story. And so the story read this. American intelligence officials have concluded that a Russian military intelligence unit secretly offered bounties to Taliban-linked militants for killing coalition forces in Afghanistan, including targeting American troops amid the peace talks to end the long-running war there, according to officials briefed on the matter. Now, if you read that really carefully, if you have a trained eye, you realize there's no named source here. American intelligence officials have concluded, and you go through this entire quote, no named source at all whatsoever. We have to be immediately skeptical of any story's veracity or its likelihood to be true when they don't name a source. America has been burned so many times by unnamed sources where they say, we have a bombshell coming. And they almost always turn out to be duds. I mean, think about Russia collusion. Think about Donald Trump's going to declare war on Iran, North Korea, you go, so on and so forth. The article continued by saying the officials did not describe the mechanics of the Russian operation, such as how targets were picked or how money changed hands. It is not clear whether Russian operatives had deployed inside Afghanistan or if they met with Taliban counterparts elsewhere. So obviously, if the reports are verified, and Russia is indeed engaged in this behavior, it rivals one of the worst Cold War aggressions, and it should be responded to with force. However, we don't know if it's true. It's leaked, unverified, incomplete, and sounds like it's cherry-picked intelligence. And the timing of the release is very suspicious. In fact, I would say it's highly partisan. In fact, it read as if it was an attempt to hurt President Trump more than actually trying to hold Russia accountable for what they were allegedly doing with the Taliban. Now, mind you, this is Russiagate 2.0, and that's if you're not counting the Ukrainian hoax. And if you did, then it would actually be Russiagate 3.0. Now, Republican Congressman Chris Stewart brought up a very good point, a fascinating point indeed, that no one is talking about. He said, quote, this is something that goes back a long time ago. This isn't just something that popped up in the last few weeks or the last few months. Some of this intelligence actually goes back a couple years ago. and that, quote, Nancy Pelosi had this presented to her as well in much the same format. So did Adam Schiff. All of us did. So why didn't they act on it or raise the question when they first received this intelligence? Adam Schiff had this in February. Well, he probably didn't act on it because he was too busy impeaching the President of the United States in February. But why did he not consider this to be important? Nevertheless, the same Democrats who are so hell-bent on backing Trump into a corner over this old question of what did he know and when did he know it, they have never been asked that same question why they didn't take this seriously. And in this case, if President Trump did know about this, depending on whether he was briefed about it, why didn't he respond? We know President Trump's worldview. We know what drives him. If he was briefed on this, he would have been repulsed by this. This not-so-subtle insinuation by Democrats, by the way, is that if Trump somehow knew this and he threw it away into the shredder and let United States soldiers die all because of this, because he was going to please Vladimir Putin, is reprehensible, steaming garbage. Now, pause for a second to think of how ridiculous that sounds. The notion that President Trump would simply receive this kind of intelligence and be told by top agencies like the CIA or the Director of National Intelligence, and that it's completely credible, verifiable, complete, and there's nothing wrong with it, and then not do something about it, goes against everything we know about President Trump. Unless you think that President Trump is completely awful, of which every one of these accusers believe. The White House has come out and they said that President Trump was not orally briefed, and oral briefings are typically reserved for the highest priority intel. He was given the briefing materials on the supposed bounty scheme. It's possible that he didn't read it, or it's also possible that he did read it, and again, it didn't rise to the level of escalating action, or it's probably even more probable that it was alleged or a suspicion. I mean, this is a very big deal, and why would Vladimir Putin do this? Nothing in Vladimir Putin's posturing is that he wants a further armed conflict with the United States. It's just not. Now, I'm not one of those people that thinks Russia is a wonderful country. I think that Russia is actually generally a malevolent force across the world. I just don't think they're that serious of a threat compared to China. I just don't. I think Russia is a bad actor. I don't think we should go to war with Russia. I think that we should partner with Russia on certain things when we can. But generally, I think that Vladimir Putin is a force for evil across the world. I don't have nice things to say about Vladimir Putin. With that being said, I don't think it's logical that Vladimir Putin would put a bounty on United States soldiers' heads because he knows how that would be responded to. It'd be responded to with force. He knows that President Trump, who's already being accused of being soft on Russia, would overcompensate on it. And by the way, President Trump has been historically tough on Russia. That's right. President Trump has been tougher on Russia than even President Obama was. You remember President Obama famously said to Dmitry Mendeleev that I'll have more flexibility after the election? Play tape.
My last election. Yeah. After my election, I have more flexibility.
President Trump armed the Ukrainian rebels. We went through an entire impeachment hoax around that. President Trump twice authorized military airstrikes in Syria against Russian wishes. President Trump armed the opposition to the Russian-backed forces in Syria. President Trump authorized record amount of sanctions against the Russian Federation and its proxies and some of its, let's just say, holding companies across the world. President Trump also expelled a record amount of Russian diplomats from the United States. And President Trump not just armed the Ukrainian government, but he gave them very sophisticated weaponry that even President Obama did not authorize. And President Obama did not approve. So this idea that President Trump has been weak on Russia is completely unfounded. Now, again, I have a very, I think, nuanced position on Russia. I do not have the view of some Republican senators that want to see us do military exercises outside of St. Petersburg and get ready for the next invasion of the Russian Federation, where they just have, they're just looking for the next war for us to engage in. In fact, I think that a, let's just say, vanilla relationship with Russia, where we treat them as not a friend, not as our greatest enemy, but probably as an adversary. We have some form of sanctions on them and just more of an annoyance than anything else. I think that's a perfectly respectable posture with Russia. With China, completely different. In fact, I think Russia could be a very helpful partner in restricting China, because Russia is also very worried about the rise of China. And you see Russia partnering with China because they see nothing but hostility coming out of the United States. And by the way, even Lindsey Graham, who's never found a war that he does not want to send American troops to go fight, and never found a piece of turf that he does not want to send an American missile to try to carpet bomb, he's even saying that this is a complete and total hoax. He said this, he tweeted out this, "The president was not briefed, as there appear to be contradictory analysis of the threat streams gathered by intelligence community, with the most reliable form of intelligence gathering being emphasized. The Russians have been involved in Afghanistan dating back to the previous administration and would prefer the United States leave, thus filling the vacuum. I completely understand why action against Russia based solely on this intelligence would be unjustified." Lindsey Graham finished by saying this, putting the ball in the Democrats' court. He said, "To the Democrats who want to be hard on Russia, put forward your ideas. I will gladly look at them apart from this incident, as I have long had major issues with Putin's Russia." Yeah, I'm sure Lindsey Graham would love to have an excuse to go declare a conflict with Russia. Now, I like Lindsey with a lot of things. I actually am very friendly with Senator Graham when I see him, and you know, when we spend time together, I just completely and categorically disagree with his foreign policy view, which is that there's never been a bad invasion that the United States has engaged in, and more missiles, the better. Not exactly my view of a harmonious foreign policy worldview. Let's put it that way. I think the Iraq war was a mistake. I think the way that we fought the Afghan war was a mistake. White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany said, quote, "There is no consensus within the intelligence community on these allegations. And in fact, there are dissenting opinions from within the intelligence community with regards to the veracity of what's being reported. The veracity of the underlying allegations continue to be evaluated. And in a very rare occurrence, the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, Gina Haspel, spoke out on the record in an official statement which read, when developing intelligence assessments, initial tactical reports often require additional collection and validation. In general, preliminary force protection information is shared throughout the national security community and with U.S. allies. As part of an ongoing efforts to ensure the safety of coalition forces overseas, leaks compromise and disrupt the critical interagency work to collect, assess, and ascribe culpability." Now, I'm going to finish with Gina Haspel's statement, but what she's saying is that this was a leak. Why don't we have people going to prison who are leaking classified information? Now, mind you, Gina Haspel had to release this statement, and Lindsey Graham had to look into this. Look at all the wasted energy and focus that had to be spent on this unverified, salacious story. It sounds like the Russian dossier. It sounds like the Steele dossier, I should say. So now Gina Haspel has to go through all these ridiculous calisthenics to try to convince the American people that the New York Times is way ahead of themselves. And the New York Times has now created a massive misdirection effort where now for a week straight, this has been one of the top stories in the leftist media. Now, you may or may not have become aware of this story, but in DC circles, this is considered to be a big deal right now. I know for those of you that are out of work or have a brother addicted to opioids or worried if you have to wear a mask under threat of arrest or your church isn't opening, I know the idea of an unverified story from the New York Times seems inconsequential to you. However, here on the Charlie Kirk Show, we have to debunk these stories because as they get so big, if you allow a lie to spread without confronting, defeating, and destroying it, then you are culpable in the spread of that lie. And so when a lie gets this big, we have to do this and we have to analyze it. So Gina Haspel continued by saying, "Hostile states' use of proxies in war zones to inflict damage on the United States interests and troops is a constant, longstanding concern. This Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, will continue to pursue every single lead, analyze the information we collect with critical, objective eyes, and brief, reliable intelligence to protect U.S. forces deployed around the world." So what do we know? At least at face value, this looks like another intentional leak of incomplete, classified intelligence from an unverified source designed to hurt Trump, designed to hurt the President of the United States. The idea that Russia would do this after the bottleneck the Trump administration has, let's say, put on the Russian Federation, I just don't think this is logical in any sense at all whatsoever. But look, let's say that it wasn't surprising. This doesn't change the fact that the proper channels were followed when it came to the president's daily intel briefings and that this singular piece of intelligence did not rise to the level of presidential action. That's the whole story. And any dishonest statement from the New York Times, the Washington Post, Congressman Adam Schiff, CNN, or whatever else is just complete and total propaganda misinformation. It's designed for the sole purpose to take down President Trump. Look, I want to tell you guys about PCmatic. PCmatic is a whitelist next-generation antivirus system designed to stop modern threats like ransomware. Independent testing the A-B test, just named PCmatic as a top performer in the cybersecurity industry, giving it the Best Performance Award for 2019. Only PCmatic has American research, development, and support. PCmatic's competition is made in foreign countries like China. Many where the viruses originate. Buy American. Support our country. Don't buy antivirus systems that are made in China. PCmatic protects Windows computers, including XP Vista, Windows 7, 8, and 10, Windows servers, Macs, MacBooks, and Android phones and tablets. Again, PCmatic's competition is made in foreign countries, many where the viruses originate. PCmatic is just $50 for 5 devices for 1 year with a full 30-day money-back guarantee. And if you act now, PCmatic has offered my listeners a free month of security protection with the purchase of an annual license. To access this offer, go to PCmatic.com/Charlie. Again, to get world-class security that keeps your computers running great, go to PCmatic.com/Charlie. And it's kind of an addition to the story here. The president's ongoing effort to remove troops from endless wars, something we've been talking about from the beginning of the show. And it's kind of an addition to this story. It's tangential and it harmonizes nicely with what we're talking about. The House Armed Services Committee voted Wednesday to put roadblocks on President Trump's ability to withdraw from Afghanistan, including I'm laughing because, I mean, Democrats have always run as anti-war people. And finally, President Trump wants to end a war. And the Democrats just don't want any part of that. The National Defense Authorization Act amendment from Rep. Jason Crow from Colorado would require several certifications where the United States can further draw down on Afghanistan. The amendment was approved 45-11. Let me be perfectly clear with all you guys. I think the United States should fully withdraw from Afghanistan. I'm a conservative, which means I love my country. I love America more than I love Afghanistan. And I do not think it is critical to U.S. national security for us to be perpetually occupying a country that's thousands of miles away while we're $26 trillion in debt, while we have 15 schools in inner city Baltimore where kids simply cannot read, where we have incredible structural problems, 25 million people out of work. It's probably actually closer to 20 million people now. I don't see any reason why we should be endlessly in Afghanistan. Now, I am not a foreign policy dove. I'm not someone who is unwilling to use U.S. force against our enemies. What I am unwilling to do is have the endless and perpetual occupation of U.S. forces overseas when there is no clear victory or objective in sight. In a previous episode of the Charlie Kirk Show, we had Senator Rand Paul, where he talked about some of the waste and the abuse in Afghanistan. I've played this sound for you before, but we've had so many new subscribers on our show since this interview happened just over a year ago. I want to just play a short clip of Senator Rand Paul and I having a conversation. This is actually from our Turning Point USA Teenage Student Action Summit last year. These stories are incredible. Let's listen in.
There was an example in Afghanistan, and you know these details better than anyone else. I remember you mentioning this. We spent something like $90 million on a hotel across the street from our embassy that has 7,000 people in it. The hotel's not finished. It's a shell of a hotel. And someone ran with the money to Jordan or something. They fled.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
And then it's out to Taliban outpost where they shoot down at our embassy.
And
now we have to deconstruct.
And you know what the conclusion is going to be to this hotel? We're going to spend another couple hundred thousand to tear it down because it's a danger to our soldiers. So some guy got $90 million and ran off with it. There's another example from Afghanistan. They wanted to build a gas station for the Afghans. See, it's not about war. It's about building stuff for them. So, but because we're going green in the military, it's a natural gas station. How many people have a car in the audience that runs on natural gas? Nobody in America has a car that runs on natural gas. They're extraordinary if they exist. Nobody in Afghanistan even has a car. The average income is $800 a year. So nobody's got a car. They're burning campfires, all right? And so we built them a natural gas station. They had no cars, so we bought them some cars. We bought them 24 cars that run on natural gas, but they had no money, so we gave them a credit card to get the gas. But the gas station was supposed to cost about $500,000. It ended up costing $45 million because the contractors were ripping us off.
And by the way, if the last few months have taught us anything, is that we have some pretty important problems here at home. And Senator Rand Paul, he's just terrific. He's courageous and he fights and he's not afraid to call out nonsense when he sees it. As you heard him articulate there, Afghanistan has become an endless dump of taxpayer money. Representative Liz Cheney, who is the daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney, who served as vice president for 8 years with George W. Bush, I think Liz Cheney's generally right on a lot of issues. She represents Wyoming. She's the singular congresswoman from Wyoming. I think she probably does more good than bad in the United States Congress. I think that she's generally on the right side of private property and judges and free enterprise. And I think that she does love her country. However, she has a very specific worldview when it comes towards foreign policy. So Liz Cheney's a neoconservative. Let's talk about what a neoconservative is. That word is thrown around a lot. Neocon is usually the pejorative that is used. A neoconservative is someone that believes in an interventionalist foreign policy. This came during the 1960s as a response to more liberal, let's say, leanings of the Democrat Party. So you saw a lot of liberal hawks then become neoconservatives. And so Liz Cheney is a neoconservative. I am not a neoconservative. I'm a patriot constitutional conservative. And while I do think that certain U.S. military interventions have been positive, such as the Korean War and World War II, I think some have been very negative, and we should call them out correctly and clearly. I look historically and I say that the Vietnam War was a mistake. I believe that the Iraq War was a mistake. I don't think all U.S. military intervention is by definition incorrect. I'm not Dennis Kucinich. If you don't know who Dennis Kucinich is, then you didn't grow up in politics when I did. But Dennis Kucinich was the ultimate foreign policy isolationist. Let's just say against interventionalism. But Liz Cheney is a neoconservative. Now, I know some of people listening to this show might be a neoconservative. That's fine. I hope I can convince you otherwise if you continue to listen to the show as to why the United States trying to colonially build a new nation halfway across the world when we already have our own problems does not work, is not moral, and is not in the best interest of our country. We tried this in Libya. We've tried this all across the Middle East. The more we try to westernize the Middle East, the more failure and the more trillions of dollars we encounter, not to mention the thousands and thousands of lives that are lost. I did a very detailed podcast, I think it was probably 5 or 6 months ago, where I went through a harsh criticism of the Afghan war. In fact, actually, I think it was right near 9/11. And so Liz Cheney says this. She says that the amendment lays out in a very responsible way a level of specificity, what is going to be required if we are going to, in fact, make decisions about troop levels based on conditions on the ground and based on what's required for our own security, not based on political timelines. The United States has 8,600 troops still in Afghanistan. I have also very respectfully debated Congressman Dan Crenshaw on this issue. Dan Crenshaw served in Afghanistan. We thank him for his service, but I completely disagree with Dan Crenshaw on this. I just do. I do not think that an endless occupation in Afghanistan is in the best interest of our country. Now, military officials have insisted any further drawdown will be based on conditions on the ground that are not yet met. So this is what happens when the activist media continues to propagandize the American public. Nearly 9,000 of our best men and women are left to toil away endlessly in the Afghan desert, putting their lives on the line, and then for what? What does success look like in Afghanistan? And if your policy position is that we should be there forever, then just say that very clearly. If your belief is that we should be in Afghanistan endlessly and in perpetuity, just please have the courage to say that. Now, mind you, this is directly connected to the bounty story. The New York Times spreads propaganda to hurt President Trump as you see the withdrawal from people in Afghanistan to try to hurt President Trump. The shot trying to stop the withdrawal from Afghanistan to hurt President Trump is a clearer way to say that. As with all of the left's games and tactics, they are lying, and the result of that is real Americans who get hurt. I think we need a foreign policy that represents the best interests of the middle class of our country. I think we need a foreign policy that represents the working class of America. And mind you, most of the people that serve in our military, which is a voluntary military, which is incredible, the fact that we have a voluntary military in our country is something that we should applaud and respect and appreciate, that we are able to defend our country without a draft. We have not had a draft since post-Vietnam War. It's actually something we should be very, very pleased with and thankful for, especially this Independence Day weekend. And I always say Independence Day, not July 4th. I think July 4th cheapens the significance of the holiday on Independence Day. The foreign policy position that the United States should continue to embrace is one that keeps our enemies truly afraid of us, as President Trump has done, but is reluctant to have U.S. boots on the ground to nation build for countries that do not share our values, that does not help the betterment or the flourishing of the United States of America. Ronald Reagan used to say peace through strength. but also not endless war because we think we're strong. Like, don't get yourself into endless war or dumb wars because you think that's strength. In fact, that's just foolish. Being in endless and perpetual conflict does not make the United States of America more likely to succeed in the future, especially when we have a cultural crisis here at home. We have tons of wars right now in America, by the way. We have the opioid war. We have a cultural war. And by the way, if we somehow are able to win the war in the Kandahar Valley and we lose the culture war in America, so what? I did an entire podcast talking about the downfall of Rome. And one of the reasons Rome fell is they overextended their military interventions. So I can sort of sympathize with Congresswoman Cheney, I guess, with her intentions. She wants what's best for the country. She thinks that being in Afghanistan for the next 100 years is a good thing. And that if we're there forever, and she calls it fighting terrorists, when honestly the terrorists are not all there. They're in Pakistan and in Iran, where we found Osama bin Laden. I think it makes a lot more sense to geopolitically strangle these countries than put our incredible troops in harm's way and spend trillions of dollars we simply do not have. What's the number one sign of a bad home security system? A home security system that's so complicated you never use it. This is exactly the type of security system SimpliSafe has spent a decade fighting against. They believe that simple is safer. And exactly why SimpliSafe is the home security for right now, when feeling safe at home has never been more important. SimpliSafe was designed to be easy to use while protecting your whole home 24/7. Order online with a click of the button. Open the box, place the sensors, plug it in, and your home is protected around the clock. No technician or salesperson has come to disrupt your house. You don't need to pay any outrageous monthly fees or sign a 2-year contract. I can tell you, with all the criminals on the loose that are looting and rioting and burning, I trust SimpliSafe for my home security, and you should too. Crime is going up, so you guys have got to protect your home. SimpliSafe is named the best overall home security of 2020 by U.S. and World Report, and their 24/7 professional monitoring and emergency dispatch starts at 50 cents a day. Head to SimpliSafe.com/Charlie and get a free shipping and 60-day money-back guarantee. That's SimpliSafe.com/Charlie to make sure they know our show sent you. So speaking of a war we need to win at home, we actually are finally arresting terrorists. This is some very good news. This is from Fox News. The federal government has arrested the ringleader in the attack on Andrew Jackson's statue right by the White House. Jason Charter seems like a total winner. He was arrested at his residence, probably his mother's basement, Thursday morning. Federal law enforcement officials on Thursday arrested a man in Washington they called a ringleader in the attempt to destroy the Andrew Jackson statue in Lafayette Square near the White House. Sources have added that he has ties to Antifa. That should surprise nobody. You should look at his bank accounts, find out who's paying him, reverse engineer the entire flow of money, put forth a RICO case, and arrest them all. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, is also accusing Charter of being the ringleader behind the destruction and the desecration of another statue, the historical Albert Pike statue in Washington earlier in June. Now that Antifa is a registered domestic terror organization, we can follow his money, who's funding him, who's behind it. And I hope dozens, if not hundreds of people are arrested very, very soon. Charter, the terrorist, can be seen standing over the toppled Pike statue, pouring an unknown liquid onto the statue. He is then observed waving others away from the statue and squatting down behind the statue where his hands are not visible. Seconds later, the statue catches fire. Charter is seen standing over the flames as it burns. I got to give credit to Tucker Carlson here. Tucker gave a great monologue where he said, find these people, arrest them, and publicly ridicule them. And then a couple days later, the president started tweeting out faces of all these people, and arrests really started to flow. It's exactly right. Public opinion changes all of a sudden when people start getting arrested. The best way to stop a mob is to stop them in handcuffs. The best way to stop a swarm of angry ideologues is to hold them accountable, legally accountable. We have laws for this reason. And so now you are going to see public opinion for Donald Trump increase. And you're going to see public opinion for BLM Inc. And if you're wondering why I call it BLM Inc., go on a previous episode of the Charlie Kirk Show called BLM Inc. versus America. I encourage you to check it out. Because if you are tough on these terrorists, and that's what they are domestic terrorists, all of a sudden their support dwindles very quickly. It's a lot harder to find self-righteous socialist suburbanites to come out of their basement if they think they're going to be arrested sometime soon. All of a sudden the protest becomes a lot less cool at that point. At that moment, the protest becomes a lot less easy to convince your friends to participate in. Another incident involving Carter, the terrorist, is believed to be involved in the assault of a reporter who was covering a June 26 protest. This was at Lincoln Park in Washington, D.C. Demonstrators were calling for the removal of the statue of Abraham Lincoln, and Jack Posobiec, who we had a podcast on, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I encourage you to check it out. He was the one that was assaulted, and we've had on our show, and he talked about Antifa, so go back in the archives and listen to it. Jack Posobiec did file an assault report with the police, so Carter would have to also answer for that charge as well. Now, these arrests are coming after the June 24th executive order signed by President Trump, which was intended to protect monuments and statues. Here's the president's tweet. I just had the privilege of signing a very strong executive order protecting American monuments, memorials, and statues, and combating recent criminal violence. Long prison terms for these lawless acts against our great country. Thank you, Mr. President, for doing this. This is so long overdue and critically important. If you do not stifle rebellion early, it will blossom, it will grow, it will metastasize, and it will convince people of things that are simply untrue, that our country is backwards, that it is broken, that it is in need of revolution. So thank you, Mr. President, for doing this, and we need more. Let's line them up one by one and perp walk them. Their faces on all television. Send a signal to the nation and the world that we will not abide by nihilism and anarchy in our country. I think it's really important because also the Democrats are going to come to the defense of these people, which will only bring down their numbers and bring up Donald Trump's numbers. Because no matter what Donald Trump supports, it seems that the Democrats have to pathologically oppose it. We have to honor our monuments, our heroes, presidents, and our great men and women. And listen to our sister episode with Governor Kristi Noem, America's greatest governor right now. She's courageous. She's incredibly bright. She stands up against the mob, never shut down her state. We just had an exclusive interview with her drop simultaneously with this episode right here. And she loves America. And she said that they're going to be putting up statues in the state of South Dakota. Hear it yourself. She's raising the private money to go put statues up in South Dakota. Is any other Republican governor doing that across the country? I don't know. Maybe they are. Maybe they aren't. But I know Kristi Noem is. And I know that a lot of establishment Republicans do not have the kind of backbone or spine. Let's use that word. It's a nice PG word. Don't have the spine that Governor Kristi Noem has. She's putting up 4 statues in the South Dakota Rotunda. Now, my team wants me to say the word. Let's just put it this way. She has a very good backbone. Let's just put it that way. She's very confident. She's very strong for good reason. Just so you understand the deletion of history that is happening, I have a list of all the statues that have been removed recently. And there are 57 of them. You have the Emancipation Memorial being removed in Boston. By the way, I want to buy that statue. So if anyone can figure out a broker, I will have certain individuals raise the money to be able to buy these statues. And they got rid of the Theodore Roosevelt statue in the Natural History Museum, which is just incredible. I mean, I'm looking at the list here. A statue of George Washington removed from Portland, Oregon. The statue of Francis Scott Key, who wrote the national anthem. San Francisco, toppled by protesters June 18th. The bust of Ulysses S. Grant, June 18th. San Francisco, removed. The statue of Calvin Griffith. He owned the Minnesota Twins. I mean, give me a break. He must be really angry to do that. As I mentioned, the equestrian statue of Theodore Roosevelt, June 20th, New York City. The statue of Thomas Jefferson, removed from Hempstead, New York, June 23rd. Civil War monument dedicated to the people who fought in the Union Army. The people who fought on the side of the abolition of slavery in Colorado, Denver, Colorado, toppled by protesters. And I did not know this one. The Ten Commandments Monument in Kalispell, Montana. They said that the alleged perpetrator was arrested. I know a lot of people in Kalispell, Montana. In fact, I'm guessing some people listening to this program right now are in Kalispell, Montana. I think that's going to probably go up pretty soon. I don't think that's going to be tolerated. But look, we need the clarity and the courage to put up statues, not allow them to take down our history. The left does this intentionally. I'm going to do an entire episode on the Chinese Cultural Revolution. And because of the Cultural Revolution, they deleted history. They burned books. the way that Marxist, socialist, centralized planning, authoritarian tyrants are able to take power is by removing any sort of moral referee that came before them. Removing anyone that might have had a good idea or did something heroic, get rid of it. First of all, how could someone who's a tyrant and an autocrat, how could they possibly share the limelight with someone who existed 300 years ago? I'm so much smarter than they were. I'm a better person. Don't you see how good of a person I am? So some of it is self-righteous, sanctimonious nonsense. And the other part of it is people do not want to honor their history because it might tell them to stop doing what they are doing right now. I never thought I'd have to do this, but we're going to do an entire podcast on why history matters and why every single parent should sit down with their kids and methodically go through U.S. history, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the heroic. Because the failure to know and appreciate and understand your history, you are destined to repeat it or ignore it and then do something even worse in the future. More statues have to go up. Listen to our sister episode with Christy Noem. It's just absolutely a terrific interview, and she's America's most courageous governor. I could tell you that. ExpressVPN is the software that I and thousands of my fans use every day to protect our data online. In the time since I've started using ExpressVPN, hacking methods have grown even more sophisticated. I'm sure many of you are working at home from these days, and without your IT department to protect you from your online threats, it's important that you take action on your own to secure your devices you use for work. That's why I recommend using ExpressVPN for the best online protection possible. I've been talking about ExpressVPN on my show for some time now, and I'm sure you understand, but some of you still haven't acted. Why is that? You might still be thinking that security threats don't affect you personally. But look, ExpressVPN is like leaving your front door unlocked to the Chinese Communist Party. One of the easiest ways to secure internet data is with ExpressVPN. So right now, go to expressvpn.com/Charlie and get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Go to expressvpn.com/Charlie. That's expressvpn.com/Charlie. So I spoke about this yesterday. I want to say a name. If you don't know this name, then ask yourself why. Horace Lorenzo Anderson Jr. Do you know that name? If you don't know that name, it's because BLM Inc. is not making a big enough deal about that name. Horace Lorenzo Anderson Jr. was a young black man. He was one of the two people who was shot and killed in CHOP. He was shot Saturday morning at the edge of the Capitol Hill protest zone, or CHAZ, whatever you want to call it. And I call it CHAZ because they want us to call it CHOP, so I'm going to call it CHAZ, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. The Seattle Fire Department said that he was pronounced dead around 2:53 in the morning. The King Medical Examiner's Office confirmed his identity Monday and said he died from multiple gunshot wounds. The Seattle Times said this: Seattle police said they could not clear the area, and Anderson was brought to the hospital by volunteer medics. His shooting in a zone free of police was seemingly impermeable to emergency personnel. They could not clear the area. So let's talk about this before I go any further. And then I want to play some tape of his father on the great Sean Hannity's Fox News program. This never should have been allowed to happen. First of all, Governor Jay Inslee acted like CHAZ did not exist. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never heard of this before. And for those of you that are new subscribers, let's play the tape. Let's go through the facts. Play tape.
Governor, I'd like to ask you about what's going on in Seattle. There's this thing called the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. What's your thought on that? The fact that the protesters have taken that over and not allowing people to come and go freely? And regarding the National Guard.
Well, that's news to me, so I'll have to reserve any comment about it. I have not heard anything about that.
Then the mayor, Durkin, she called what was happening in CHAZ a summer of love, and she condemned and repudiated anyone who dare say that people that are armed insurrectionists ruling the streets of Seattle, they're doing wonderful things. It's a summer of love. Play tape.
Place. How long do you think Seattle in those few blocks looks like this?
I don't know. We could have a summer of love.
So Seattle's leadership was perfectly content and okay with seven city blocks in downtown Seattle being be occupied by armed terrorists and insurrectionists. People like myself and Tucker Carlson were incredibly worried that this could become a bloodbath, that innocent lives were going to be lost. In fact, we predicted that was what was going to happen. The great Benny Johnson from Turning Point USA went to Chaz, and we even had an episode where we reported live from Chaz. They went to Chaz and they told us that this was crime waiting to happen. They didn't feel safe. And yet, our own investigative documentary work that we did at Turning Point USA was more courageous, more honest, and more transparent than anything that the activist media would dare tell you. I remember, I'm old enough to remember, when Vice News used to actually go into dangerous situations and tell stories that were contrary to the media narrative. Now Vice is the media. Now Vice is the activist left. Now Vice is part of the mainstream narrative in our country. And so we were warning greatly and repeatedly that innocent lives were going to be lost. So again, Seattle police said they could not clear the area. I wonder if his life would have been saved if he had access to emergency medical services. I hear all the time, and I reject this entire ritualistic group humiliation practice that we must say their names, like Michael Brown and Ahmaud Arbery and George Floyd, Eric Garner, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I have a challenge for BLM Inc. and you sycophants out there, and for the people that go to the mega churches that post the black squares that say we can't allow black innocent lives to continue to be taken because of white supremacy in America. Well, you social media self-righteous sycophants, especially the upper middle class, hip, woke Christian pastors that post your black squares and dare not engage in a meaningful, wise conversation. Why are you so quiet? I didn't see you post anything on Horace Lorenzo Anderson Jr. Say his name. He was a 19-year-old black man who was shot and killed by the very race riots that the American church was largely funding, that BLM Inc. is encouraging, that corporate America is funding. And so the old expression is, well, they have blood on their hands. Don't you understand? They have blood on their hands. It's absolutely true. BLM Inc. is now culpable in a murder. BLM Inc. should be sued civilly and held criminally accountable because BLM Inc. was actively involved in the sponsoring and the creation of Chaz. In fact, BLM Inc. and their spokespeople thought this was a wonderful thing. We exposed this in a variety of different ways when we actually went into Chaz. So say his name, Horace Lorenzo Anderson Jr., 19-year-old black man who was shot and killed by the very same riots that BLM Inc. planned and plotted. So if black lives mattered to BLM Inc., then they would be outraged by this, but they're not. And neither are Democrats in Seattle or in Washington State. Jay Inslee couldn't care less. Mayor Durkin couldn't care less. I want to play a tape of Lorenzo's father last night on Sean Hannity's show. It's hard to listen to. It's heartbreaking, but it's important you hear it. Play tape.
These are kids, man. I'm 50 years old. Man, these are kids, man. They should have been stopped this a long time ago. It's starting to get, excuse me, but it's getting to a point. You know where, you know it's getting.
Gotcha.
I'm so sorry.
I'm just really,
I'm so sorry, Mr. Anderson. I you know, I can only say this as a dad. You want to break Sean Hannity? I'm a pretty tough guy. That will break me. What you've
been through. Somebody did ask for this, and they need to come talk to me, and somebody need to come tell me something, because I still don't know nothing, and somebody need to come to my house and knock on my door and tell me something, but, you know, I don't know nothing. All I know is my son, he got killed up there, and he's just a 19-year-old. No, that's Horace Lorenzo Anderson. That's my son, you know, and I loved him, you know, and that was my son, you know.
Got you, family. Don't worry about
everybody,
it.
I can tell you, sir, and Andre, I didn't want to cut you off earlier, but, you know, on this show, we've done something. We have every weekend hundreds of kids shot, people shot in Chicago, killed every weekend. We get a death toll. Nobody knows their names. These are American kids, grandmothers, grandfathers, moms, and dads. We're the United States of America. We can fix this. We don't fix this. And you do it by right policing, training police, you know, non-lethal weapons. You do it with a police presence, not demonizing. Everyone agreed what happened to George Floyd can't ever happen again. Nobody, it was not a political issue. Right. How do we function as a society if we don't protect our children?
And I feel for his family, too. No disrespect.
Of course
but
you
when
do.
When it comes to my son, I feel like
it's personal.
Just like you said that, somebody should help my son. He needed help. He needed paramedics. He needed the police to come in. Somebody was supposed to go in there and help my son.
So that's right. He was never told by the mayor of Seattle that his son died. He never even got a courtesy call. He was never even let in to see his body. I thought Black Lives Mattered to Mayor Jenny Durkin. My gosh, and what's so honestly depressing about this, to just be honest with you guys, and I trust our audience so much, she's not going to be held accountable for this. Like, just Democrats just get away with this stuff. They just do. Like, Democrats are not held accountable. BLM Inc. will not do a protest against the white mayor, Jenny Durkin. It's not going to happen. And so I hope you use this as an example. I encourage you to use this as an example to your friends over the July 4th weekend, Independence Day weekend, where you go to your family and friends that might be leftists, who might be liberals or whatever, and they might support BLM Inc. and say, why is it that BLM Inc. is not actively involved in calling out the fact that 7 city blocks were created and a black man dies within those 7 city blocks? So I want to take some of my show right now to tell you a little bit more about Lorenzo. Because just like officers David Dorn and Patrick Underwood, I know that BLM Inc. will not, and the activist media will not. According to Johnny Jefferson, who was close with Anderson, and is the site lead at YEP, an alternative high school for students who have trouble succeeding at neighborhood schools, quote, he came from a part of Seattle where it is tough to survive in those types of conditions, end quote. You either go to the wolves or you get eaten. Anderson had a lot of trouble finding safe housing. He got into trouble, but having difficult things to work through, that's what life is like for almost anybody, end quote. And this is from the Seattle Times. Anderson found a home at YEP. Teachers there adored him. So did his classmates. In a photo of the pair near the Space Needle last spring, Jefferson swung his arm over Anderson's shoulder while Anderson looked confidently over the camera. He really wanted to be loved, Jefferson said. Anderson's English language arts teacher, Aaron Berger, ran into him a few weeks ago near a Fred Meyer in Greenwood, and they hugged and they talked. He was going to get his diploma this year, Berger said. I told him how proud I was for sticking with it, for not giving up. I'm going to say Lorenzo's name. BLM Inc. won't. Mayor Jenny Durkin won't. Jay Inslee won't. And that should tell everything you need to know about their movement. And if your friends still support BLM Inc. after this, use this example. Because now Lorenzo is dead. That diploma means nothing. He was shot, killed in a cop-free zone because of BLM Inc. And this is just some breaking news right now. President Trump just got off the phone with Lorenzo's father and offered his condolences. Good job, President Trump. Thank you. That's leadership, and it creates a dividing line. And it creates a higher level of visibility around this story. And this never should have happened. But let me close the show by saying this. Lorenzo's dead. Chaz is now gone. The police came in and they cleared it up in less than an hour. So they could have easily done it, but they only did it after an innocent life was taken. Actually, two people were shot. But Lorenzo's the one that is resonating the most in the eyes of a nation right now that's trying to figure out what on earth BLM Inc. is, and we know what it is here. So in 7 city blocks with no police, a black child dies. 19 years old. Young man. What's going to happen to Minneapolis when they get rid of their police? Hundreds, if not thousands, if not tens of thousands of people over the next decade who are black and Hispanic will die. More than ever would have happened otherwise. Why? Because white suburban leftists who have been told to be guilty for how God made them, for their immutable characteristics, want to feel good, not do good, take the police out of their communities, and black blood will pour in the streets. I hate to be that graphic, but that's what's going to happen. If we are not successful at defending our police and expanding their funding, not cutting their funding, we are going to see a rapid escalation in black deaths in cities that have already been so disadvantaged. That's what happens when the left takes over your cities. The left destroys almost everything that they touch. Thank you guys so much for supporting us by going to charliekirk.com/support. For our monthly donors, we do a monthly Zoom call that'll be coming up in mid-July, right around June 15th or 16th. We'll be doing that. So for those of you that want an exclusive interactive Zoom call just for monthly subscribers, it's charliekirk.com/support, charliekirk.com/support. If you want to win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine, type in Charlie Kirk Show, your podcast provider, hit subscribe, give us a 5-star review, screenshot it, email us freedom@charliekirk.com. A screenshot of that, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you guys want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Get engaged, get involved, start a chapter, chip in some money, tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure to listen to the sister episode of Governor Noem. God bless.